Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey in order to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, by getting to know who we are on the inside, we can live from the inside out. When your heart matters, you're able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. If you sign up for the weekly heart energy, you will know on Saturday morning what we're going to talk about on the show on Monday. However, if you don't want to sign up for the weekly email to be sent to you, you can go to our Facebook, our Heart Matters Facebook, and on Saturday before the show, we will tell you what the heart energy is. So you can get to us either way, and of course, you can always just listen, but we prefer that you meditate with us ahead of time and join us so that you can participate with us energetically as well as just mentally. So our energy today is healing. It's my favorite energy in the whole world. It's my mission energy. It's what my whole life has been about. And what I say on the website is healing is about aligning with universal will. And we're going to talk today about what that might possibly mean. And as we talk about each heart energy so that you'll get to know who you are, because these are the qualities that are behind everything you think, everything you do, everything you feel. There is a quality of you. Now, you may not have a clear concept of that quality if you haven't gotten to know yourself internally, but it's still there trying to work, trying to break through all your patterns that you have learned so that it can have its own personal expression. So as we talk about these energies, we talk about them in picture form, which is the right brain, the female, the feeling aspect of your being, and we talk about them and what they mean to us. That's the left brain, how to bring it into the world. That's your male part, so that both your male and female get to engage in being this energy. As I was thinking about the healing energy, so many different stories came to mind for me. Oh my goodness. For years I have been a healer, but I have also been on my own journey of inward healing for years. So there was so much. But what I decided to talk about was a time in my life that got really testy. It's not like I didn't know from birth almost that I needed to align my will with universal will. I knew that. And there's just something innate in me that already knew that. And it's not that I didn't try to do that, but, you know, sometimes it takes a big change in your life to make you look at all the patterns you've just taken for granted. And that's what happened to me when I divorced my first marriage. I married again, but in my first marriage I divorced. And I had to look at a lot of things because the way I had looked at love was just, you know, what my parents had told me I should do to get love and how I should act and think and feel. And of course, I did those things. I called them loving, and people should love me back for those things. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with power. Power was, you know, you act responsibly and you do a good job, and then you're powerful. So not that you're not to act responsibly and do a good job, or that you can't ever act or think or speak lovingly, but until you know who you are, you don't know how to put those words and those actions and those feelings out there because you don't know who you are. And I didn't know who I was around love or power. Of course, wisdom comes as you claim those other two, but mm-hmm. I didn't know. And so I got thrown into the world. You know, I had two sons to support that were 10 and 12, and I had...
And we ate a lot.
And they ate a lot. And half the neighborhood children ate at my house. And I ended up in the divorce with no car. I did get the house, but that still meant I paid the mortgage. I willingly took on all the debt because I wanted it to pay. I had a moral obligation to pay it, and I didn't think it would get paid otherwise. So I took all of that, ended up with no car, no job. So I went out, got a job with an insurance company that allowed me to have to find a car, because people trade their cars all the time. That was a really good deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything fell in place. And as far as my life working smoothly, you know, I got enough part-time jobs to get through my training, my initial training at the main job, so that I could pay our bills, at least juggle them to pay our bills. But it was being thrown into different situations, interacting in different ways in the world with different people, having to take a different role as a parent, because before I just got to be the nurturing warm mama, and now I had to be the disciplinarian, the structure setter, and was not home very much. So everything changed. So how was I to be loving and powerful in the same ways? Well, there wasn't any of the same there. So I had to start learning who I was, because none of the old worked for me anymore. And that's when a lot of healing comes in, because when things don't work anymore, that's because our heart is not getting to express. There's a dark spot where the light can't make its way all the way through. And those times may seem difficult when a lot of healing is needing to take place and a lot of change and transformation, but it's a powerful time and an important time. So that's what it brought to my mind, was a time when I was kind of thrown in the water and said, learn how to swim. But it was from that time that I got to know myself around love and around power. Now, since I had had spirit guides talk to me since I was a child, I had tremendous wisdom, but my patterns around love and power needed a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point that, you know, healing is a journey that you take. Growth is a journey you take. Creativity is a journey you take. All these heart qualities, they're going to be different for every person, because every person will have a different experience on that journey. So when we talk about it and give our picture and our past experience, it's not meant to tell people this is the way it is. It's the way it is for us. And it might suggest to them how they could begin their own journey around that. But it's not going to be a cookie cutter sort of thing of you do this, you do this, you do this, and presto, you have healing.
But I have found that for a person to really start looking inwardly to see what wounds they have, in other words, a wound is simply where your heart is not getting to express into the world through a pattern that fits it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have found that it usually takes some testy period in a person's life for them to really begin on a journey of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, everything kind of works.
Right, right. If you're never pushed off the dock, you never think about trying to swim.
Right.
The story that came to me that most sort of sums up how I began that journey, and like you, I had a ton of stories come to me because, you know, this is what we do. We're healers. I've been a massage therapist for, what, 18 years now, something like that. And I grew up with you before that. So I've been surrounded by healing energy my whole life, and I've got a ton of stories, which is good. You know, some radio shows we do, I was telling a massage client this morning that sometimes, like with flexibility, or I'm sure when we get around to patients, I'll just be hoping that somebody who writes in to us has something brilliant to say, because I don't have a good grasp on those energies. But this one I do. I've got a ton of stories, but the one that jumps out at me the most is when I was a teenager. I forget exactly how old I was. I couldn't drive yet, but I was maybe like 14, something like that. I got a bizarre bacterial or viral, they didn't know, infection in my leg muscle, in the quadricep muscle. Which was, it was like a tropical disease. They were like, have you been to Paraguay or something? And I said, no, I haven't left the city of Atlanta. I've done nothing. I've not been hiking through a jungle. I wasn't bit by a bizarre tsetse fly or anything like that. It was just out of nowhere. I got this infection in the muscle of my leg, and the muscles cramped up and I couldn't barely walk. I was like hobbling around on a crutch. And so we went to the doctor, and he gave me antibiotics, which, you know, is what they do. Whether it's bacterial, which the antibiotics would help, or viral, which the antibiotics would do nothing for, they still prescribe them anyway, just in case. You know, they don't know. They're just, here, antibiotics, go home, take them, rest. So we did that. I got the antibiotics, but we also went to the chiropractor that we were seeing at the time. And he gave me some visualization exercises and some things you could do. You rub your hands together to build up the energy in your hands and then hold them over the affected area, which is a trick I still use today. And then also, I was supposed to, you know, the thing you want to do least is get up and try and walk around, but I was supposed to try and walk around to get the energy flowing. If you just lay there on the couch, you're letting it, stagnate, I guess would be the word. So for me, that kind of formed the three legs of the milking stool. From then on out, when I thought of healing, I thought that, number one, you've got to do something to keep the flow going. Number two, you've got to do something that will make your energy field less of a hospitable place for the block or the disease or the affliction or whatever it is. You know, you've got to change your diet. You've got to do the visualizations. You've got to work on your emotions. Whatever it is, you've got to change your internal environment. So you got to increase flow, change your internal environment, and then lastly, you do want to address the problem, whether that's, you know, through antibiotics or whatever. You do want to take some direct action about the situation in front of you. But that's really the least of your worries, that directly dealing with whatever your symptom is only one small part of it, that you also have to look at the environment that you've created inside of you that's allowing this symptom. And finally, you have to do something to keep the energy flowing through your energy field. So that was a very powerful sort of watershed moment around healing. Although I've worked with it a lot since and was exposed to it before, it kind of came together for me there, that there were three separate areas that you really had to address in healing.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I said earlier, when we meditate, some people, we try to bring in the left and right brain, the male and the female parts of ourselves, the feelings, the actions, everything, so that it's an active part of our life, not just something we sit and fantasize. So sometimes, you know, the thoughts come, sometimes the feelings come, but sometimes the picture comes first. It doesn't really matter. I knew the energy was healing. Many times I just meditate and see what the energy is. But when I know what the energy is, many times my mind starts first, because all of these incidences and stories of healing just was going crazy. And I was trying to wipe them out because I didn't want all those stories. I just wanted the essence of those stories so I could get to my picture. But finally I did, and it was a kaleidoscope.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's little stones in there that fall into different places when you turn it.
Right.
You know, you have to be kind of facing the light so that you have, which made a lot of sense to me, because then that's what our heart energies do. As we do the healing and we turn that our our heart to the light, mm-hmm. our life to the light, then all the pieces of our light, life begin to fall into different patterns when the light is shining through.
Right.
And so we have healing that begins to happen just by acknowledging the light or the heart, whatever you want to call it, that spiritual essence that is the inner force that brings the transformation that you said is one of those three legs, but the most important leg of healing. Mm-hmm. Yes, you don't just say, I'm going to meditate every day, but you focus that energy on a particular aspect of your life. You bring baby steps to it so that you're bringing it into your life. And so the kaleidoscope was really a very cool image as far as I could tell. You know, it brings all of our beautiful colors into picture perfect focus.
Mm-hmm.
All of our heart qualities are those colors. And you have to face the light for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it falls into different patterns. And when we heal one area of our life, like if you heal, we've talked in class this last week about healing in groupings.
Mm-hmm.
If you heal around, right now I'm working on not being overly responsible to make sure all things get done, instead letting people be responsible for some of their own stuff. If I'm working on responsibility, it's going to impact not only how I deal in my personal relationship, but with my students, it's going to impact every area of my life.
Right.
And so when healing comes into any one area, when that light shines in, the patterns, as you turn in the kaleidoscope, take different shapes.
Uh-huh.
So any healing light will take different shapes depending on the situation. The story I told, you know, as I began to heal around love, and love was, you know, at first, love was, I could never have a divorce.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, our family didn't have divorces. And so love meant you never, ever left. And it meant I was slowly dying. I mean, really physically dying in that situation. And so
love is sacrifice.
Yeah. So love, that whole idea of you never left, you always stayed no matter what, you put your own needs last, it's sacrifice. All of those things about love had to be given up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kaleidoscope began to turn to a lot of different pictures around love as that healing energy began to shine through there.
That's a very cool image. I'm in fact going to throw out my notes and say that I too received the image of a kaleidoscope in my Terry did also.
I was recently giving a speech with somebody who did that. She spoke after me.
Uh-huh.
And she just threw out her notes and kind of reemphasized what I said.
Yeah.
Okay, you can do that, Russ.
No, actually, I like my image, too. I was meditating today, and I also had a whole bunch of stories come up, and I had to push those aside and just say, you know, what is it as an energy? Not what has my experience of this energy been, just what is it as a pure energy? And the image that came to me was that I was walking down the bank of a creek, and I got to this big stagnant pond. It had this, you know, evil smelling muck around it, and the algae was growing in it, and it had become very stagnant. And I saw that there was a beaver dam that had blocked off the water, and then the beavers left and moved on, but they just left the water blocked up. And there was, you know, mosquitoes and everything breeding in this water. It was a very unhealthy place. And so I went and I, you know, pulled some sticks out and began to knock down that dam, and the water flowed through, and the river began to clean itself up again.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I looked at that, you know, that's sort of how I approach any healing session if I'm working as a healer, is I really trust that a person's spirit is going to do the work. They want to heal. They want to grow. That whatever has been plopped into their life was originally put there so that they could take the next step. But they got afraid, and instead of taking that step, they just dammed up the flow and said, whoa, I don't want anything else to change. And it was that damming up of the flow that caused them to be unhealthy or sick, or however you want to say it. And really, all you have to do to initiate that journey of healing is begin to break down that dam that you've blocked your flow up with, and then your spirit will do the rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a very good picture.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and I do want to acknowledge one of our sponsors. This is the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. It's a place where you don't just get away, but you get away to heal. And since this is healing, a getaway to renew, to get away to transform, in that your body gets to rest and relax. Your mind has available to it all kinds of resources to gain wisdom. And there's a lot of loving people around. So you have all kinds of power, love, and wisdom interactions. And you get, it's a place where healing has been anchored here for years. And so you're just in the midst of the healing energy. And people have come here to the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat and found tremendous healing. Some physical healing, some emotional, some mental, and some just the renewal of getting out of their everyday life and having a change. So check us out at ottawahee.com and come spend some time with the Ottawahee Wellness at the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat and visit us. We have a note from Nellie and Dot. It says, if healing helps align you with universal will, then does forgiveness let you know you are in fact aligned? So evidently they've been working a lot with forgiveness. Thank you, Nellie and Dot. They're both in one of my classes where we're working with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what their experience has been that they're referring to, but would you like to talk to that, Russ? And then I'll add a few words.
Yeah, I think forgiveness is sort of the thing that gives you permission to tear down that beaver dam.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Because if you can't forgive that you've made these choices and have acted on these patterns, that, for instance, my patterns that I just adopted from my family that maybe even worked for some of them, but they didn't work for me in love or power. Mm-hmm. If I can't forgive that and wipe that clean from me and say, that's finished, then I don't even have a space for something new. And I'll have that tearing inside me. I'll have the new voice that says, oh, this is love, but I'll have the old voice that says, yeah, but their feelings are hurt and I should really go take care of them.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think forgiveness is crucial in helping you to really go through a healing process. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And we have an email from Mike and Julie at Lake Lure, North Carolina. We are listening and really appreciate the examples and expansive definition of the heart energies. Health is what drew us to you. Much love, Mike and Julie. Thank you so much, Mike and Julie, for listening to us. We're having wonderful, wonderful response on Facebook. So join us with that. We had a very good response about how we could bring healing to the Gulf.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we're, if you all meditate together with us each week on the energy that we have for the week, then if you just do it one or two days and we're all doing it together and we all focus that energy, whatever it is, like last week it was harmony, this week it's healing, I think next week will be health.
Mm-hmm.
If you, whatever that energy is, if you focus that and say, we're all joining together and empowering it together as one. It's so much bigger than if we each individually sent that energy of healing as an energy to the Gulf. And we thought in of the Gulf being healed or in harmony or it having health. Whatever the energy is, if we sent it there as a group, the light from that would begin to make a difference in the healing process. For all the fish that are there, the water that is has been poisoned, you know, it may even change some of the people who put it there.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly will help to change in that healing process, because our earth needs to be healed just as much as we do.
Right.
This is from CK in Green Creek, North Carolina. I remember a few years back when you were recovering from hip surgery and you talked to us about healing. There was a three-step process you outlined that has stayed with me. Healing, refocus, surrender, and join. Thank you. Okay, so you have healing that equals refocus, surrender, and join. I think that speaks a lot to what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something is needing to be refocused in our life, we have to address that and say, okay, I need to love in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
This is not working. Instead of beating up on ourselves for doing it and trying to make it work the old way, just refocus. And then surrender is a lot what Dot and Nellie said about forgiveness,
right.
Is surrendering to the light, forgiving the old, giving up the old, surrendering, not hanging on to it, and then joining with that new healing peace that is the new truth that your heart's trying to give to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to add to that?
Well, you know, I think that every time we do one of these shows, we try and give people a suggestion to one of our CDs or books or things that we sell on the website that might help them if they want to study on this further. But the thing that came to me this time is that we're having a workshop here at the Institute in a week, I think it is, this upcoming Sunday,
yeah.
And it's going to be on learning to take care of all those internal pieces inside of you. And I think that speaks very much to that idea that, you know, your spirit wants you to heal. It's going to heal, but you have to surrender. You have to say, okay, I'm going to give up this block, this beaver dam, this whatever. And then you have to get refocused on establishing that flow and join it. Care for all the things that come up. Don't fight them. Don't curse them. Care for them. Be a part of that process. Join that process. Mm-hmm. And magic will happen. I've seen people heal things that doctors told them they were going to die from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they stopped seeing it as a problem that they had to solve, and they saw it as a process that they could join in with, that everything that was coming up for them was there for them to learn something new, not to beat them down and give them one more hurdle that they had to crawl over. And that process, if you think of it as a process, is something you can join with.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a wonderful thing in your life instead of, you know, I hope I never get any serious disease because then I'd have to heal and that would be tough. You know, we think of healing as something you only have to do if fate has struck you down.
Uh-huh.
But really, healing is something that you should be welcoming into your life all the time.
Mm-hmm. And if you miss the opportunity to heal on some level, mentally and emotionally, on those internal parts, it will manifest physically.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it manifests physically, it doesn't mean that's the end of the road and you can't still do that healing process. I know through these many years, I have had unbelievable numbers of people come to me that have been told that they're going to die. You
mm-hmm.
know, I had one lady that had bone cancer, and she had been given 1 or 2 months, I don't know, it wasn't very long. And she came to me and she said, you know, I'm not afraid to die, but I just don't want to come back and relive this. I obviously didn't get what I needed to get. So she had all that openness. And I worked with her for 1 month. I worked with her for 4 sessions in 1 month. And she was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not that I did the healing. Don't let anybody tell you that somebody can do the healing. But my energy of healing, joining with her willingness and her claiming of healing, helped that to change whatever those untruths were that created and manifested as the bone cancer. I don't even remember what all of her story was and couldn't tell it if I did. But I know it was specifically her patterns around this that created it. And she, I heard from her years later, and she was still alive. I don't know if she still is or not. But, you know, story after story like that. But it's just as miraculous to me when somebody gets through an attachment. Uh-huh. You know, they give up, like I gave up a relationship that was death to me. It was death on every level, and I was literally dying from it. And it was a big deal. And when somebody gives up a huge attachment that's very difficult because I didn't know how I would support myself, I didn't, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't have all the answers, but you're willing to take that step, that's just as miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as miraculous when somebody has been emotionally wounded, they have lost somebody that's just incredibly important to them, and they're able to heal that woundedness. You know, I had a woman that came in to the Institute one day that had lost her son. Her teenage son had had an overdose of drugs or something, I think it was. And she was trying to be all positive about it. Well, you know, yes, we are, when we're in accepting that everything can be healed, we need to have that positive, but she wasn't dealing at all with her emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to have healing in the mental, in that whatever belief system you held that caused you to act in the way that was not fitting your heart has to be changed. The emotion that you have around that, whether it's guilt, whether it's grief, whether it's anger, whatever it is that started building up because of the happening, you have to clear that, and then the manifestation will change in the physical. But it's the kaleidoscope. It's letting the light shine through and moving, like you said, that piece of focusing on what is it, the focus. You're changing the focus so that the rocks fall in a different pattern.
Mm-hmm. And I love that point you made about how healers work, in that we, you know, we don't heal somebody. We don't do the work for them. No healer can come along and wave a magic wand and make you be healed if you are not participating in the process. I remember when I was a kid, you would say, you know, kids, go clean your rooms. And I had a big piece of organization, and I could go clean my room. I'd, you know, take this piece and put it in the closet, and this piece, and put it on my shelf. But my brother Dave would just sit there. He was so overwhelmed, he didn't know where to begin. And you would come along and you would say, okay, now you've got a lot of clothes out on the floor. What do you say we pick up the clothes first and put them in the dirty clothes hamper? And he would do that, and you'd say, okay, now it looks like you're almost, you know, halfway there now. I think all that you really need to do is put some of those toys in your toy chest. Oh, okay, I can do that. And I think that's what a healer does, is kind of break that process of, you know, the refocusing and the surrender, you know, break all that down for people and be there with them to say, and you can do this next step. Go ahead, do it. Okay, good. And now here's another step. And I think that's all a healer really does, is they help you size up that situation and break down that beaver dam. They don't come through and do it for you. They don't make the water flow. They don't make the sticks go away. They just kind of break the process down for you and are standing there urging you to do the next step. And I think that's why that workshop popped up to me, is because you can listen to a CD and you can read a book, and that can help you. But to have a person actually there in the room with you, feeding you the steps, walking you through the exercise of it, that's invaluable to me.
It is. And it's the energy of the people in the room as they claim healing. They add to the synergy of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also true with a healer. You know, I'm kind of appalled sometimes when I meet somebody who says they're a healer, who's gone to, say, massage school or taken some course or whatever, and they don't work on themselves.
Yeah.
They don't do their own healing, because part of what a healer does is their energy of healing gets to merge with whatever piece you're claiming of healing. And however much of that they've claimed in their own life, they are actually sharing that energy with you. So if somebody doesn't work with you and they don't have very big pieces to share, they're not going to help you a whole lot.
Yeah, they can't jumpstart you much if they've got a weak battery themselves.
No, they really can't. It's time for another one of our sponsors. This is from the AC La Roca Pizza people. They are absolutely leading the pizza revolution in health. Everybody loves pizza, but there are a few healthy ones out there. But they have determined in their mission statement to bring the world healthy pizza. Their pizzas are Weight Watcher friendly, diabetic friendly, heart friendly. They're made with organic whole grains, or if you like, you can have their six sprouted grains. They're high in fiber, low in sodium, in fact, the lowest of all frozen pizzas on the market. Plus, they're natural with no artificial ingredients at all. So it's true. You can now have pizza and eat healthy at the same time with AC La Roca pizzas.
I always figured if I taught my kids how to make pizza for themselves, that I would be turning them loose on the world with just about all the tools that they needed.
Now they don't even have to. They can just buy a healthy one.
Yeah.
This is from Ralph in Little Rock, Arkansas. Isn't every bad happening just an opportunity for healing? How can we get humankind to understand this? Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to on that one?
I was thinking of healing in relationship because my wife and I have had to heal a lot of patterns in our relationship to keep going forward. And we think of, you know, personal healing with our physical bodies and even, you know, psychological, emotional wounds that we've had to heal. But we also have wounds and healing that has to go on around how we deal with other people. And that was the biggest adjustment for me in settling into a long-term relationship, is that idea that if you were doing everything by yourself, it would, by definition, be the best you can imagine. You know, whatever picture you're trying to work towards, it's the best picture you can imagine. And if another person enters the picture, it, unless you just totally exclude whatever input they have, they're going to be changing what you consider to be the best picture possible. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to feel like another person entering the picture is kind of messing with your perfect reality. And to heal, you have to get used to the idea that whatever the other person or the outside world or the happening in your life is bringing you is going to first feel like it's totally messing things up. You know, it's not exactly as you would have pictured it. Therefore, it's not the most perfect thing you can imagine. So your initial response is always going to be, well, this is horrible. I imagined it so much better than this. So you have to first cotton to that idea that diversity is going to bring you something that you couldn't have imagined. But that's a good thing, because now you're expanding what you can imagine. So if you can get used to that idea that healing is about taking what comes into your space and admitting it's not what I would have imagined, but let's see how this expands me.
Yes.
Then, yeah, everything can expand you.
And if you're doing healing in a relationship and you can't come to my workshop on this next Sunday, then go online and get Soulmate or Cellmate. I talk about how to bring healing to a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I also talk that some relationships where both people are not trying to work towards healing can't be healed.
Right.
But if both people are wanting to bring that healing, it definitely gives a lot of tools. Soulmate or Cellmate. Get it online at thejackiewoods.org. So, Ralph, I would say that every bad happening is an opportunity for healing, but we can also have good happenings that are opportunities for healing. If you really look at it, every interaction you have in life is going to expand you. And if you see that, that transformation and change is the key word here in healing, then really every interaction in every day becomes an opportunity for healing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we get into our modes of robotic living and we don't take advantage of each opportunity each day. So it kind of gets a backlog built up, and then we have to have the two before, the really bad thing like I did that really breaks down and says, oh, I haven't been loving at all. I've just been going through the motions of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So this email is from Susan in Charlotte, North Carolina. My daughter brought me healing yesterday. She asked if I had forgiven my ex-husband. I took her invitation and looked inside to find that she was right. I had much forgiveness that had been missed. I am amazed at the avenues that healing finds. Okay, sorry, Susan, I didn't read very well, but did you get the gist of that, Russ?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay. You know, what that brings to mind is back to Dot and Ellie's comment that we said about the forgiveness, that, you know, we do work on things and we get through things, and there is a certain amount of healing that happens. I mean, you wouldn't get through the divorce and go on with your life if there's some healing hadn't happened. But if we think back on a person and we still think, ugh, and we're in judgment and we have bad thoughts and feelings about them, that's usually a pretty big indication that there is room for some more healing there, that we have not forgiven ourselves for the choices we made in that relationship. We tend to think we want to forgive them, but we really have to forgive ourselves for the choices we made in interactions. We miss some opportunities of those interactions through every day in the healing process. And it's easy to do when you're in a relationship with anybody, not just a lover, a wife, a husband, kids, whatever, just friends. It's so easy to fall into patterns of relating,
mm-hmm,
and miss the opportunities of change and transformation that every interaction brings.
Yeah, you know, that takes me back to that story I first shared when we opened the show about the leg infection I had, where I discovered that the smallest part of any healing process is the actually dealing with what's happened. You do want to address that if you've cut yourself or if you have a microorganism living in your bloodstream or whatever. You take the antibiotics, you bandage the wound, whatever. But the even larger part of that is that you got to look at what you've done to create an atmosphere in your body where that could take root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not just your physical body. That's your emotional, your spiritual self. What kind of environment have you created inside of you that has allowed that thing to crop up? Because it wasn't just, you know, the fate wheel going dug 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 infection for you. You know, you did something inside to create that, whether it was holding on to an old grief or you know, constantly judging yourself as not good enough or whatever. You've done something inside your energy field to create an unhealthy environment. And healing has to address what the result of that was, the actual infection, but it also has to address that inner environment, or you're just going to create it again very soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life should be about healing.
Mm-hmm.
It should be about healing, and it should be that it's only through healing all of the patterns that don't fit who we are, that may manifest as bad thinking or emotional upset or physical problems. But it is healing that aligns us with the universal will, and that should be our ultimate goal. Because if we're not in alignment with universal will, then the light that shines through our kaleidoscope isn't turned on.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw one of my favorite bumper stickers again yesterday that says, the common element in all your failed relationships is you.
Are you listening, Terry?
that, you know, if you're not working to align yourself with your higher spirit, you're not creating an inner environment where any light could flourish. And yeah, you're just going to be that stagnant pool behind the beaver pond. And
yes,
all kinds of stuff will grow in there.
That's true. This is from Gail in Long Island, New York. How can I make healing a bigger part of my life? Any advice? Well, you can order some of our CDs.
Yes.
Well, I think we're really helping people to understand healing, not just talking about it today, but by the show every single week. As you get to know who you are, then you know what patterns don't fit who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how you need to heal. And I have all kinds of, like in the book Soulmate or Sailmate, all kinds of tools about how you clear this stuff, the thinking and the feeling. And this workshop is going to be dealing with that big time. And it will be out on CD later, probably in about a month after the workshop. But yes, you need tools. You do need tools in this healing process, because it's not just like, oh, well, love isn't the way it used to be. You know, you bump into it and it doesn't work anymore. You realize that all the, quote, love you brought to that relationship didn't create any love.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any love in that house. So obviously, you can blame it all on the other person, but it's not all the other person.
Right.
But I began to realize that I needed to change and heal in the path of love, and ask my partner to go to counseling. And we went twice, and the counselor said, well, you both have to want to change, and only one of you wants to. So I can't help you. So like I said earlier, when you were talking about healing relationships as well as your individual stuff, you heal with another person, you have to really want to change, because change is never as comforting as old patterns. Even the ones that don't work are comforting. But new is unknown.
Right.
So how is somebody going to respond to you if you start speaking up and saying, well, this is what I believe, or this is how I feel, especially this is how I feel, or no, doing that really doesn't fit me anymore. You know, saying some of those things that say, no, I have to break these old patterns with you. It truly may mean losing some friendships, because those people may want to change with you or they may not.
Mm-hmm. I would follow in the footsteps of what you were saying there by adding that one of the most important things you can do is to increase the flow. Whenever you're in need of healing, you need to not contract, but rather expand. I teach a karate class on the weekends, and well, it's self-defense, it's not just karate, but I tell the students, and we do a little exercise every time where I have them, you know, stress their muscles a little bit and breathe into it, trying to keep up with the demand, so that whenever they have a muscle going, oh, I can't keep doing this, they breathe into it and give it the energy it needs to keep doing that. And I tell them, in a stressful situation, the worst thing you can do is stop breathing. Whenever your body is stressed, whenever you are sick or under pressure, or you're being asked to change and it's too much for you and you feel overwhelmed, whenever you feel like all this stuff is building up, you need to increase the flow of energy through your energy field, not decrease it. And what we always want to do whenever we feel hurt or sick or upset is just contract into a little ball and shut down the flow so that we won't feel anything else, so that nothing else will go wrong, you know, just to try and pull into a tight little ball, thinking that that's going to make the pain go away. When in fact, what you should be doing is increasing the flow, breathing deeper, getting more energy to run through your life and your body. paradoxically, that's going to bring stuff to the surface. You know, the whole it's got to get worse before it gets better sort of thing. Whatever you're dealing with that needs healing in your life, you need to increase the flow there. Breathe into it. Try and bring yourself more to it. Don't pull away from it. Don't try and shut it down in your life. But of course, when you do that, it's going to bring up your fears and your pains, and you're going to need to look at those.
And not pass it from one body to another. And
yeah.
When I talk about body, you know, we have our emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, I call those bodies. Those are parts of us. But I, like the lady that had lost her son and was just too much in grief, I could feel it seeping from her, but too much in grief to even let herself feel it. So she just talked about positive things.
Right.
She passed it from her emotional body to her mental body.
Right.
And, you know, we will do that. We can pass it from our mental body to our emotional body sometimes,
uh-huh.
You know, and we'll talk ourselves into a real big anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we talk about it long enough, how bad they were to us and how much of a victim we were, we can get really angry. That's just passing it along.
Mm-hmm.
Healing requires that each step of the way, that light shine on through to our mind, to our emotions, to our physical body, that that healing is a complete process.
Yeah.
Healing is not just making ourselves forget or feel better or think differently, you know, by passing it to another body.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a complete process. We do have one more sponsor we need to acknowledge, and that's BountifulBuys.com. It's a way you can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. BountifulBuys.com. Check out these places. They support us, and if you enjoy this show, then you need to support them because they help pay our bills. This email is from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. I thought Teresa had forgotten us today. Does everyone have a mission energy, such as yours is healing, Jackie? The answer to that is yes, but everyone doesn't know what it is. But it will be the energy that you have used most in your life. It's the predominant theme. And if you haven't done a lot of healing in your life, you may not have a clue because you just may have a favorite pattern that is different than your favorite energy.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because if you're bringing an energy, it will be one that makes the most change in the world.
That's a good way to put it. I like that. I think that everything that we do on this show is really aimed at getting people to get to know these pieces of themselves. That the more you meditate with us every Monday on a particular energy and find out who you are around healing or around harmony or around growth, the more you're going to have a chance to stumble across one where you go, wow, this one's huge. I see it everywhere in my life. And that will probably be your mission energy, that one that just seems to be woven into the very fiber of everything you've done throughout your whole life. But you probably wouldn't be able to call it up in a word first unless you explored and got to know what that feels like as an energy. And then you'll start to see how it's played out in many different situations.
Yes. And sometimes the one we think to be our biggest energy, but it brings no change, is the one that we use as our biggest judgment. And it may be a big energy, like if you have a lot of organization or order and no one else has it, or a lot of purity or cleanliness and no one else around you has it, you may feel like, well, I have it, no one else does, so I must be the biggest. Well, that doesn't mean it's not bigger in you, but it doesn't necessarily mean a mission energy. Like I said, a mission energy is one that you have brought all the way through and you have seen the results of its change in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to remind everyone that I have a workshop this Sunday, and I start them early. I'm a morning person, so they start at 8 a.m. So if you're going to visit us, you may want to come and stay at our Ottawahee retreat. and spend the night before. And if you're not going to be able to join us, make a note, because you will be able to get the CD in about a month. But as Russell said, it's very, very
supportive
and growthful and healing to be in the energy with all these people resonating it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Amy Nyack in New York. In Nyack, New York. Where do you broadcast your show from? Thank you, Amy. We broadcast from the JackieWoods.org, and we are located in Columbus, North Carolina. And it's beautiful. We're at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. It's just the most incredible place. I'm sitting right now looking up at the mountains. There's trees all around. We have a beautiful 126 acres here with beautiful, beautiful trees and mountain laurel and azaleas and all kinds, and a beautiful garden and walking trails. It's a gorgeous place to visit and a gorgeous place to live. Do you want to add to that, Russell?
We're about halfway between Asheville, North Carolina, and Spartanburg, South Carolina. We're right over the border into North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to fly and visit us, I've had a lot of people ask this. There's an airport in Asheville, mm-hmm. North Carolina.
And one in Greenville.
There's one in Greenville. It's called the Spartanburg-Greenville Airport. It's between Spartanburg and Greenville in South Carolina. And then about an hour and a half away is Charlotte, North Carolina, which is probably the biggest of the three airports. But you can fly into any of those places. And
it's about 35 to 40 minutes from either of those first two airports.
Uh-huh. We would love to have you visit us. But if you can't visit, just email us. A lot of people on our Facebook and a lot of people listening to the show that are with us on a regular basis, please let yourself be known. We appreciate you so much. So just remember in these next 2 weeks to always let your heart matter. It's by letting your heart matter that you can claim control over your choices and your creations, because you'll be living from the inside out. Thank you so very much, and we'll see you again next week. Bye.